and Thrive Community Church. How are you guys this morning? Yes. I caught you off guard because you're used to some announcements, a video playing at this point, didn't you? Well, we're not going to have it this morning. We're just going to do things different. I want to say welcome to our online community. I'm Joey, and I'm going to be speaking this morning. And how are y'all this morning? Good. Okay. Fantastic. Fantastic. All right. So we're in a series about what's your role. What's your role? And it's about, we're talking about some of the disciples and the roles that they played after, during Jesus's ministry, but really the impact that they had after Jesus' resurrection, after Easter. And so this morning, what's your role? What is your role? And our message title is Doubt Isn't Disqualification. How many of you have ever doubt? For real doubt? Yes, we all have. Doubt, let me just let you know that doubt is not disqualification. Doubt doesn't disqualify you from being in the ministry. And whether you know it or you don't, you all are in ministry. May not be ministry inside the house, but it's more than likely we all are involved in ministry outside the house, which is where real ministry takes place. Right? Y'all with me? So why do we have church? We have church to get people saved, you know, introduce the real Jesus, find freedom. Come on, somebody else. Find freedom. Discover your purpose so you can make a difference. So that's what the house is about. But when you leave the church, the church is so that we can equip the saints. So it's for the equipping of the saints. All of you are saints this morning, so you're here to be equipped. And I'm going to let you know that doubt doesn't disqualify you, or is not a disqualification. It's an empowerment, and you'll see this later on. So doubt isn't disqualification, but doubt as a definition, let's see if I can make this work. Did I make that work? There it is. Let's see. Yes, it's working. Okay, so the definition, hey, if you've heard me speak before, you know I like to get some definitions to some words that we're going to be talking about. A definition of doubt is to call into question the truth of, to be uncertain or in doubt about. There's more. It's an intransitive, it's one of them type of verbs. And it's to be uncertain, but it also is a noun. It's an inclination not to believe or accept a claim met without doubt. And so when we talk about doubt, and when we talk about the disciple, the apostle Thomas, what's the first thing that you think about? What do you call him? Doubting Thomas. Do you know that in Scripture, he is not one time called Doubting Thomas? Not in Scripture. That's a name that we gave him, Doubting Thomas, because of the story about when Jesus, we're going to get there. I got a joke for you this morning. Let's break the ice. So there was a man that was stranded on, it was a big flood, a hurricane, and there was lots of flooding, and the people come by to get him. He's like, I'm not evacuating. The Lord will deliver me. Any of you heard this joke? Oh yeah, you have. He's like, the Lord will deliver me. And so the floodwaters come up, it gets to his front porch. He goes up to the second floor. The water continues to rise. You know, he gets up on the roof here in a little bit. A boat comes by, one of them Coast Guard boats comes by, and they say, hey, come on, get on in the in the boat. We're gonna get you off of here. And he's like, nope. The Lord said he will deliver me, and he will deliver me. Okay, you can't make them leave. And so that boat goes on, and the waters continue to rise. I mean, he is perched right up on the top of the ridgeline of his roof, and an old man in a John boat comes by, and he says, hey, I can help you. Come on, get in the boat with me. We'll take you to safety. He's like, nope. The Lord told me that he was going to deliver me. He says, all right, are you sure? He's like, yep, I'm good. The Lord told me he would deliver me. And so that boat goes on. The water continues to rise. He gets up right on the top of his chimney. That's the highest point on his house. And he gets right up on top of the chimney. And a helicopter comes by, one of them rescue helicopters comes by. And they call out to him. They say, hey, the water is going to continue to come up. You can get in this basket and we'll take you to safety. He said, no. The Lord told me that he will deliver me. And they said, are you sure? They begged with him and pleaded with him. Come on, get in the basket. Let's go. The water's going to continue to rise. You're going to be swept away. And he's like, no, the Lord told me he would deliver me. I'm going to stand on his word. And so he gets swept off the roof, drowns, dies. And so he gets to heaven, and he's in front of Jesus, and Jesus is talking to him, and he's like, I got a question. He said, you told me that you would deliver me. He said, and I tried three times. He's like, I didn't see no three times. He said, I sent two boats and a helicopter. Don't be hard-headed like that. All right? He said, I sent two boats and a helicopter. We're going to talk about Thomas this morning. And in scripture, he's not called Doubting Thomas, but in our lives, the way, the modern church today, everybody calls him Doubting Thomas because of this story. Now, Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples. So this is Resurrection Day. This happens on Resurrection Day. Was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. So they're all excited. We seen Jesus. Thomas wasn't there. We seen Jesus. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. This is where he gets the nickname Doubting Thomas. Are you all with me? And so a week later, a full week later. So it's the Sunday after Easter, right? Which it says a week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas this time was with them. He was with them at this point. And though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them. So the doors were locked. So Jesus just shows up and he's among them and he says, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands? Reach your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. So then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Amen. That's us. They have not seen, but yet we believe. Okay. So the story about Thomas there, that's where Thomas gets his nickname, Doubting Thomas. But if you do some research about Thomas, even though he was doubting, so even though he doubted, he went on and did wonderful things. God used him in wonderful ways and performed miracles, all kinds of stuff happened. And Thomas went to the land of India and established the church in India after this. So you say, well, he didn't believe. I don't know if it is that he didn't believe, but he just had doubt. He was uncertain about what the disciples had told him, what Peter, James, and John, and Matthew, and Bartholomew, and Andrew, what those guys had told him. He wanted to know for himself. But when Jesus showed up, there was no shame. He didn't shame Thomas for doubting, for being uncertain. There was no shame in that. So there's going to be no shame in your doubts either. How many for real have ever doubted some of the stuff that you hear in the Bible? You know, some of the things that you read in the Bible, you're like, oh my goodness, did that really happen? I'll use you to give you an example. Is when Elijah is walking, he's walking somewhere. He walked everywhere, but he's walking somewhere and some kids were making fun of him, calling him old Baldy. It was calling him old Baldy. They was messing with him, and a grizzly bear or a she bear come out from the hill and kill the kids. For real, that's in the Bible. That's a real story. That's something that really did happen. That's hard to believe. Sometimes do you doubt? Because I have that story myself. I'm like, did that really happen? Was that really true? Did Elijah, while he was on Mount Carmel, and he had the 300 prophets of Baal up there, and they was offering their sacrifices, did he really take 7 barrels of water and pour on that offering, on that bull? Did he really do that? And did God really come down in a pillar of fire and consume the offering and every drop of water? Did that really happen? Those are some stories that I think about sometimes. Did that really happen? I believe it did. If you can't believe that, then how can you believe that a man was resurrected from the dead? Dead. Resurrected from the dead. Did Jesus really raise Lazarus? Did he really raise Lazarus? You know? And so I've had all these doubts, all these questions. We'll call them questions. All these questions about these different things that happen in the Bible, but then I have questions about, did God really speak to me? Was that God that was speaking to me, or was that just all myself? Do you ever have those questions? Yes, we all do. We all do. And if what God is speaking to you, this is how you'll know that it's God speaking to you, is that it will align with Scripture. It will not contradict anything in Scripture. Let me meddle. That's what my father-in-law used to say. He's a pastor. Let me meddle a little bit. I'm going to tell you, if I thought that I heard Joey said, you need to divorce Pam and move on. I can weigh that against Scripture. And that God doesn't tell us to do things that contradict what His Word says. So I can know that wasn't God that was talking to me. That was an angel of light, which Satan comes sometimes as an angel of light. That's satanic. That's being influenced by other things than God. You know, sometimes there's a lot of noise going on, a lot of noise going around you, a lot of rumors going around, a lot of different things that are going around. And there's all types of, you're having all these types of different ideas and all these different things. And it's just a bunch of noise. And you got to listen for the small voice. And that voice will never contradict what Scripture says. And it's always going to be edifying to you and edifying for the body, the church. Amen? Amen. Amen. Now, I like interaction. So if I say something that's really good, then you can say, yeah, that's right. Amen. Yeah, that's good right there. That's encouraging. This thing done turned off on me. Okay. So there's no shame in doubting. He didn't, when Jesus showed up, he didn't shame Thomas. He didn't say, Thomas, I can't believe, man, you didn't believe what your brothers had to say. I can't believe you didn't believe what the other guys had to say. They seen me. He didn't do that to him. And with that, there was no condemnation. He didn't condemn him for doubting. You're not going to be condemned for doubting. Doubting is just something that it's a natural thing. But what happened? Jesus searched him out. It says he showed up. He said, peace be with you. And he went right to Thomas. Searched him out. Went right to him. And said, hey, Thomas, look at here, buddy. It's really me. Put your hands in my hands. See, these are my hands. Put your hands here. Put your hand in the side. So don't doubt anymore. But believe. But believe. You know, Jesus searched him out, and he searches us out too, just like he searched for Thomas. But why? You say, well, why do you wait? Why did he wait a whole week before he showed Thomas who he was for real? You know, he knew that Thomas had these thoughts. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He knows everything. You know, he's from the beginning. He's from the eternal past, and he's going to be to the eternal future. He says that he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the everlasting. Has no beginning, has no end. He is the great I am. He knows everything. You know, he knew everything. So he knew that Thomas was having this doubt, and you think, well, why did he let him struggle for, you know, a whole week when you know all the other disciples are probably out there like, hey man, we seen Jesus. You know, this is it. He's resurrected. He lives. And Thomas was like, well, you know, he can't be part of that crowd right now because, you know, he's trying to work this out. He's uncertain of what's going on or what happened. So why did Jesus wait a whole week? I don't know. I'm not God. But he needed to let him work it out, work some of that out inside of him. And sometimes whenever you're having those doubts, you need to work, you know, sometimes you need to work through that stuff. You need to work it out. But know that Jesus, he's searching you out. We just need to turn around and find him. You know, so Jesus searched him out. He didn't shame him. He didn't condemn him. He searched him out and said, hey, it's me. It really is me. And from that point on, Thomas was a world changer. You can be a world changer too. You may not change the United States or even the South or maybe not even Texas or Henderson County, you know, but you might change the world that you have influence on. It might be your family, could be your loved ones, could be your friends, could be your coworkers. You change that world. Be a world changer. Don't just be, you know, content with just existing. But be a world changer. Do something for the kingdom. Be a kingdom shaker. You know, I pray, when I pray, sometimes, a lot of times I'm like, God, just shake me. Shake me so that I can impart shake the people that I have influence over, I can shake that up. I can make an impact there. Amen. Luke 24, 36 through 39, it says, while they were still talking about this, this is Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, why are you troubled? And why? I'm just reading. It's all it goes. Why are you troubled and why do doubts rise in your minds? Now, this is the disciples. He's talking to all of them here, not just Thomas. He's talking to all of them. We're talking about the disciples, y'all. The ones that walked with him for 3.5 years. The ones that were stuck by his side. The ones that they seen him do crazy stuff. You know, healed the lame, cured a leper. He cured a bunch of lepers, healed a bunch of lame people, opened blind eyes that they couldn't even see from the beginning. Healed lame people that they never could. While they was lame from birth, they was crippled from birth. Healed them. These guys, the ones that walked with him during that whole time, those disciples, he's saying, why do you let doubts rise? Why do you let doubts rise in your mind? So it tells me if they're not above it, this is where it's encouraging. If they're not above it, then for sure I'm not above it. Amen? Amen. He says, look at my hands. Let's do this. Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. And he goes on to say, he was talking to him. He's like, hey, you know, after this, he's like, hey, you got something to eat? So he was hungry. And they gave him some broiled fish to eat. Just another way of proving that he really was who he was. He said he was. He wasn't a ghost. He needed to eat. They felt him. They touched him. But they had doubts in their mind. Can you imagine if you was the disciples? Pete, can you imagine if you was there? And they crucified the man, your teacher, the rabbi that you had been with for 3.5 years. And they had crucified him. They had beat him to where he was unrecognizable. They hung him on a tree. They stabbed a spear in his side. They killed him before they took him down. If you was one of his followers, this is when this happened. If you were one of his followers, what would you be doing at this point? You'd be hid out in a room behind a locked door just like these guys were. Thinking, oh my goodness, they just killed our rabbi. They just killed our leader. They just took his life. They're probably going to be coming after us next. That's real. Probably what they was going, what they was thinking. Just an instance, if the one world government is going to happen, y'all, the Antichrist, that dude's coming, the false prophet's coming, whether it's today, tomorrow, a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, I do believe that it'll be in my lifetime. And we all should be that way. That dude's coming. And there's going to be persecution like you ain't never seen. And the first time you see, you know, if they was to get Pastor Nathan or Pastor Graham down there and they was to kill him, what would you, and they was like, hey, if you believe in these teachings right here, this is what's going to happen to you. And they just smoked them, killed them. What would you be doing then? You'd be like, I need to go hide out for a little while. I need to hide out and gather my thoughts. Is this really worth this? Is it really worth this? Is it really worth this? It's worth this. You know, all the disciples were killed in various ways. Thomas was stabbed, an Indian king from India. had him killed because he led his wife, his son, maybe his daughter. There was some he had some influence in the palace there, and he had led a bunch of those people to Christ. And so that king had four guards take him out on top of a hill and have him run a spear through him, or spears through him. He died for the faith. Thomas, not doubting Thomas, but the apostle Thomas. And I want you to just to change the way that you think about Thomas. Because if you change the way you think about Thomas, maybe you'll change the way you think about yourself sometimes when you doubt what's going on. It made me realize some stuff in my life that I'm like, do I really believe what God has to say about that stuff? Jesus is seeking you and wants to reveal himself personally to you. Just like he did with Thomas. Jesus is seeking you and wants to reveal himself personally to you. And doubt is a part of an ever-growing faith or certainty. And you could use the word faith or certainty. They're interchangeable. I mean the same thing. Believing without a doubt. You know, if you get cancer and you get the report from the doctor, hey, you got cancer, man, that's going to set you back for just a minute. But do you believe that you really know somebody that can do something greater than what you can even imagine or think? That guy, that person, do you believe it without doubt? Or maybe there's just something you're going through in life and it just seems like it's overwhelming you and you're like, man, I don't even know what to do. I don't even know if God's real right now. That is a real thought. He is real, and he really wants to reveal himself personally to you. And a doubt is a part of an ever-growing faith or certainty. Doubt isn't disqualification. If you get nothing else from this morning, doubt isn't disqualification. Because you have doubts, that doesn't mean that you aren't saved. How many of you doubt sometimes whether you're saved or not? But yes, we do. And if you don't, you're not human. But I know because of what the word says that there's nothing, no type of trouble, no type of influence in my life, anything that can pluck me from his hands. It says, if I confess the Lord Jesus Christ, if you confess the Lord Jesus Christ, what'll happen? You're going to be saved. Believe in him and you will be saved. So doubt isn't disqualification. But another little story about Thomas. So he gets the raw deal there because Thomas, when you think about Thomas, you think about doubting Thomas. But I want to show you another part of Thomas. So this right here is when Lazarus has died. And Jesus tells them, said, Lazarus has died. We need to go there. And the disciples were like, no, don't go back there. You can't go back there. They tried to stone you the last time you was there. They're going to kill you. This is what Thomas says. But Rabbi, they said a short while ago, the Jews were trying to stone you, and yet you are going back. And then Thomas, the same Thomas, the one that's going to have questions a little later, said to the rest of the disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. He's going to stand by him no matter what. They said, you don't want to go back there. They tried to stone you the last time you was there. They were going to kill you the last time you was there. And Thomas says, hey, you know what? Let's go with him and let's go die with him. Let's die beside him. Amen. What's the last thing God spoke to you about? What's the last thing God spoke to you about? And giving you some type of direction? You know, you're like, oh God, you know, what is it that I should be doing? Should I do this? Should I not do this? And you know that a while ago you heard God say do something, and so you're moving in that direction. Or maybe you never really stepped in that direction, but God told you to step in that direction, and you're like, all right, God, you know, 4 or 5 months later, hey, God, you know, what do you want me to do? What did he tell you last time? What did he tell you to do last time? What's the last thing he told you to do? Maintain that lane. And keep doing that, what he told you to do. You know, when Thursday night, we met up here, the worship team, and the Lord was already speaking some things to me. And, you know, Abraham, he told Abraham, he said, hey, get up, get your stuff together, leave this place, walk. And Abraham got all his stuff up and he started walking. And he says, I'm going to show you a land. So Abraham takes off. I'm going to think it was probably 10 years before God spoke to Abraham again. Could you do something for 10 years? Knowing what God had spoke to you the last time? Can you maintain that lane? Keep doing that. And then years later, speaks to Abraham again. And Abraham starts in that direction. And he goes for a while. It's not like, I know we read it and it seems like, bam, God's just speaking to Abraham like this right here all the time. Great lengths of time between when God spoke to Abraham. Examples, Abraham, David, King David, Saul come and anointed him as king, poured the anointing oil over and said, you're going to be the king. Years go by. He sent out the king. He's running for his life. Do you not think that he was doubting? Well, I don't know if Samuel really heard what God was saying. I don't know if that was really true. Did you not think that some doubt started entering into his mind at that point? He's hiding in a cave. His men are wanting to kill him. But he trudges ahead. This is what God told me to do, so this is what I'm going to do. This is what God told me to do, so this is what I'm going to do. He spoke to me years ago, so I'm going to continue to walk in this. I'm going to continue to do this. Noah worked 100 years on a boat. People making fun of him the whole time. They said, this fool is crazy. There's no water around here. It's never rained. Why is he building a boat? You're crazy, Noah. God spoke to him. Told him what to do. He maintained that lane. Elijah. On the mountain, slays 300. You know, God accepts the sacrifice, takes up all the water and all the bull, slays all the prophets of Baal, tells Ahab it's going to rain, runs in front of a horse-drawn carriage, probably multiple horses, and he outruns them all the way to the city. Then he gets there, and Jezebel, he gets frightened by a little lady. Jezebel, and he runs off. You don't think that he was doubting what was going on at that point? You don't think that there's some doubt that come into his mind? What about Jeremiah? What about Isaiah, the weeping prophet? What about those guys? You don't think that they had some doubt? What about Matthew, Mark, Luke, or Matthew, Mark? Yeah, we'll count Luke in there too. Luke, John, James, Andrew, Thomas, Bartholomew. I missed some. You don't think that they had some doubt? Paul had some doubt? They all have doubt. But did it stop them from doing what God had called them to do? No, they just had to believe. I hate this thing. Those are just a few examples. Let's interchange that. Alex, Aaron, Scott, Granger, Shane, Mike, Sergio, Pete. Do you have some doubt? Doubt doesn't disqualify you. It just means you have some questions. And God wants to answer those questions for you. Amen. Amen. I think that went pretty well. I want you to close your eyes and bow your head. You know, I'm going to say most, maybe all, are saved and believe this morning. But I just want to ask this question. If you're here, maybe you've had some doubts. Maybe you've brought into question what's happening, what's going on. Why am I going through this? God, where are you? Maybe you got some questions like that. If that's you, why don't you raise your hand and say, that's me. I got some doubts this morning. I got some questions. Thank you. Thank you. Maybe there's those that are here that really don't know Jesus. Well, let me teach you the ABCs. It's A, admitting you're a sinner. B, believing that somebody paid a price for you that they didn't have to pay, that Jesus paid that price. And then C, confessing it with your mouth. I'll give you just a few seconds, 10, 15 seconds. If that's you, just raise your hand. If it's you, say, you know what? I'm not really 100% sure about this Jesus message. I want to pray with you. Lord, we're thankful for your goodness, your grace, your mercies. Lord, we're thankful for everything that you do for us. And God, Lord, we're thankful that sometimes we can question and we can have doubt, and that there is no shame. There's no condemnation. But God, that you have all the answers. You're the Holy One of Israel. And God, those that just need a touch from you this morning, God, Lord, that you would speak to them. Lord, that our minds would be open, that our ears would be open, that our hearts would receive. God, Lord, that you would just move and have your way. And thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. A doubt isn't disqualification. Amen. And amen.